بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We continue where we stopped. We continue with the fourth lesson in chapter of Hajj under the header باب محظورات الإحرام and lawful acts during إحرام. We said the first and the second is what? Shaving the hair and clipping the nails, and we spoke about that last week. The third one, lips al-makhit. And we explained lips al-makhit, isn't it? Did we do the third one? Lips al-makhit. We spoke about the meaning of makhit in last week's lesson. To wear al-makhit here, he said, tailored according to the body, including socks. And we'll speak about the turban and the cap, but everything is tailored to the body. We spoke about the belt, which is, it said it is allowed. It is allowed to wear the belt. Now, there is a hadith which is narrated in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. A man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, مَا يَلْبِسُ الْمُحْرِمُ مِنَ الثِّيَابِ. The muhrim, what does he wear from clothing? فقال, the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تلبسوا القمص. Do not wear the qamis, which is like the upper shirt. ولا العمائم, and not the turbans. ولا السراويلات, no pants. ولا البرانس, what is the burnus? The burnus is like an outer garment, and it has a cap. The Moroccans wear it. Has a hat attached to it. No, a burnous comes.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, it comes from outside. It has like, and it has the hood. وَلَا الْخِفَافِ. He does not wear a khuf, the leather socks. And with this also, the socks. Alright? He says, إِلَّا أَن لَا يَجِدَ النَّعْلَيْنِ. Except that if you can't find sandals, فَيَلْبَسَ الْخُفَّيْنِ, then you wear the khufs. وَلْيَقْطَعْهُمَا مِنْ أَسْفَلِ الْكَعْبَيْنِ, and to cut them from below the ankles. And we spoke about that last week. There is another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time he did the khutbat al-hajj, he directed the hujjaj to wear the khuf if you cannot find sandals. And he did not say to cut them. And this is where the difference of opinion amongst the scholars. وَلَا تَلْبَسُوا مِنَ الثِّيَابِ شَيْئًا مَسَّهُ الزَّعْفَرَانِ وَلَا الْوَرَسِ. يعني, and do not wear anything from the clothing that saffron or like type of perfumes has touched it. So, don't perfume the ihram as we said previously. Now, of course, also with the ijma'. What about if someone wore one out of sickness? يعني, for example, you in the ihram and you start getting strong diarrhea and sickness and you cannot khalas, you need, يعني, it gets really bad on the person. يعني, now he wears it intentionally. صح? Intentionally. But there is an excuse in the sharia. For example, sickness or extreme cold. Or if he cannot find ihram to wear for someone who's very poor, like the police or the doctors. So a doctor who's in the crew, he needs to wear normal clothing even though he's intending hajj. Or for example, like a policeman. He intended hajj, but he has to wear his uniform. He said here there is no burden on him, but he has to pay fidyah, which is slaughtering a sheep, which is we'll talk about later. He still has to compensate for that. Even if he's sick, he still has to compensate, but it absolves him from the sin. So if you're very, very sick, you wear it, but you slaughter a sheep. Now, as for Hizam al-Tubbi, medical belt, صح? Medical belt that you put it on your knee you damage your knee, or you put it on your knee, medical belt, or something like wearing a watch, or for example, for the back, some patches or some back belt to hold the belt, the back together for pain in the back and all of that, glasses. This is all of it. It has no fidya on it. Is no fidya on it, meaning you do not have to pay anything. No.
Sheikh, you said they all pay fidya. The sick pays fidya as well, or is it just the person that's working?
The sick pays fidya, and the policeman pay fidya, and the doctor wears fidya, pays fidya. But if it's a small patch on the knee or a medical belt, there is no fidya because this is not really a major cover.
Sheikh, also the same with carrying a bag, there's no fidya. If you're sick and you've got a bag with medicine in it, there's no fidya.
Even if you're not sick, you've got a bum bag, there's no fidya on it. Like a belt, there's no fidya on it. Here he said, إِلَّا أَلَّا يَجِدَ إِزَارًا فَيَلْبَسْ سَرَاوِيلَ أَوْ لَا يَجِدَ نَعْلَيْنَ فَيَلْبَسْ خُفَّيْنَ وَلَا فِدْيَ عَلَيْهِ. Here he said, unless he does not find a lower garment and hence wears trousers, or if he does not find sandals, so he wears leather socks. In these cases, there is no expiation due on him. He said, there is no expiation due on him. So, the hadith in Bukhari عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه, and this is the hadith that I told you about. This is the hadith that I told you about when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was giving the khutbah in Arafat. Was giving the khutbah where? In Arafat. Listen to the hadith, because remember the first hadith he said what? He cuts the khufayn. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من لم يجد النعلين فليلبس الخفين. Who cannot find a na'al, let him wear khufs. But in this narration, which came after, what? He didn't say don't carry. And in the first one he said carry. So here the ulama said, this has abrogated that section of hadith Ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah. Because he had never ordered. Sah, he never ordered. And some people that can only, like, you have to know that in Hajj, there was the Muhajireen and the Ansar and people. Some of them, he's talking to people who in the beginning cannot afford sandals. You tell them if you have khufayn and then you rip it, what happens? You're damaging a property that they have. And the Sharia does not come to damage a property. You see, this is your item that is worth money. You rip it from the bottom, then you see the point here? So here the Sharia does not come to damage things for you. And that's why the ulama, some ulama, which is we are on that opinion, that you can wear sandals based on this that have strap from the back. Strap from the back. Here he said, woman. فليلبس الخفين. The hadith, من لم يجد النعلين فليلبس الخفين. Who cannot find nouns, which is sandals, let him wear خفين. ومن لم يجد إزارا فليلبس السراويل. And whoever cannot find إزار, the bottom piece, let him wear a pants. Here, of course, everyone has the ihram. Hardly anyone cannot afford these things. Now, أو لا يجد النعلين فيلبس الخفين ولا شيء عليه. As we said, if you can't find the na'al, you wear khufayn and there is nothing on you. Number 4, تغطية الرأس والأذنان منه. Covering the head and the ears are part of it. You're not allowed to cover the head. Whether it's turban or ghutra, the ghutra, or a piece of cloth or a carpet or anything from that. Okay? But you can sit under shaded place, under a tree or in a bus. The Shia, they have their own buses. They cut the top off because they cannot be shaded. But this is not what the hadith. The hadith is talking about touching the head or just above the head. Because that's why you can carry an umbrella. You can carry an umbrella. There is no issue and would not be haram to carry an umbrella in Hajj. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَا تُخَمِّرُوا رَأْسَهُ فَإِنَّهُ يُبْعَثُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مُلَبِّيًا. Hadith agreed upon that he said, do not cover the head of the deceased in Hajj because he will be resurrected on the day of judgment saying what? لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ. You see. What about covering the head while you are sleeping? Here, you shouldn't cover your head while you are sleeping. You should make sure. If you've done it accidentally, many brothers, accidentally he would sit and he puts something, blanket on his head. Of course you warn him. Accidentally, he forgotten there is nothing on him. So, there is nothing on him. But wearing a hat, wearing a turban, wearing a cap, there is nothing on you because we said accidentally. He said about the ears. Why? Because there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we spoke about it in the Tahara 2 years ago. He said the ears are part of the head. That's why when you wipe your hair, you wipe your ears, and that is the hadith, and we spoke about that. We're not going to visit it. That's why you cannot cover your ears. You cannot cover your ears. But you can put an iPod or headphones. You can put a headphones. There is no issue, and that does not ruin the ihram. Now, it has been narrated from Imam Malik and Al-Bayhaqi that Uthman radiallahu anhu covered his face whilst he was in ihram. Covered his face while he was in ihram. Abdullah ibn Umar said, whatever above the chin is from the head, sir, you do not cover it. Whatever from the chin upward is from the head. So it's a khilaf between the companions radiallahu anhum. Uthman used to see that you can cover your face, and Abdullah ibn Umar used to see the head starts from the chin upwards. Sah? Now, based on this, can you wear the mask? The mask that covers the nose and the mouth? Yes, you can wear a mask that covers the nose and the mouth if you want to cover it. I try every year. No. It's very uncomfortable. Some people can, but it's very, very... I'd rather get sick than wear it for 4 days.
Unless it's Chinese.
Chinese, they wear it all the time. Yes. I can't wear it. I just can't wear it. And don't worry, inshallah, you fit as a fiddle, you'll live through it. No.
Sheikh, for the women, they're already in hijab, so their head is covered already. We're talking only about the men.
Of course we're talking only about the men.
But while the women are sleeping, can they put something on their head, for example? Blanket.
Yeah. But the face, the issue of the face with the woman, we talk about it. Yeah. Now, because the ihram of the woman, we spoke about ihram of the woman, isn't it? We spoke?
Yeah, earlier.
Yes. Okay. Then number 5, al-tibu fi badanihi wa thiyabihi. Applying perfume in his body or clothes. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for the man who, hadith muttafaqa alayhi, the one who fell and kicked by his animal, but he's right, he said, وَلَا تَمَسُّهُ بِطِيبٍ. Do not put on him perfume. That's why you cannot put perfume. Now come a lot of the things. For example, it is not allowed for the muhrim to use soap as perfume. To use toothpaste that is perfumed. Also tissues which is perfumed. And he cannot drink a drink that has saffron in it. Or curry that has saffron in it. Or rice that have saffron in it. No biryani.
No biryani.
Huh? It's only 3 days. Die.
Rice with
plain
rice with water.
Alhamdulillah. No, in chicken. Al-Muhim, all that has specifically perfumed food. Now, what about the soap? Ya akhi, yani ana, there are the Hajj. Hajj package. Sometimes the group, they give it to you, and sometimes you buy it from Bin Dawood for 10 riyal or something. It has the shampoo and the soap and everything. Some people pay 50 bucks for it from Sydney. And they end up regretting it when they get there. over there, there is everything. There are stuff you find that you don't find here. Yeah, some brothers pay $100 for a jackaroo sleeping bag to sleep in Mina, and they end up leaving it up there because they don't want to carry it up and down. You can buy in Bin Dawood for 10 riyal or 15 riyal. You use it and you leave it in the bag, the poor people come and take it. You leave it in Mina in the tent. The brother carry it here and he wants to take it back to Australia, and already the bag is full of things. He'll end up leaving it behind. So over there, akhi, there is everything. When I go, believe it or not, my bag is empty. I just take bag because here bags are a little bit cheaper than over there. That's it. Bags, it's cheaper, just the bags. You can buy a good bag here for $100. Over there, you pay 600 riyal. Apart from that, don't take anything from here. Everything you need is available. Number six. قَتْلُ سَيْدِ الْبَرِّ وَهُوَ مَا كَانَ وَحْشِيًّا مُبَاحًا. Pay attention. Killing game animal, which are wild animal that are permissible to hunt, like hunting birds, hunting rabbits. Of course, none of us do that. But of course, this law, because they used to come walking and everything and hunt to eat on the way, so it is not allowed. وَأَمَّا صَيْدُ الْبَحْرِ فَإِنَّهُ مُبَحْرِ. Regarding game from the sea, it is permissible, which is like fishing. If you're coming in a boat and you decided to fish, to wear a line at the back of the boat before you get to Jeddah, and you're in the state of ihram, you can. I don't know what you're going to catch there, but actually the sea over there is very, very rich with animal life, yani with fish. I did snorkeling in Jeddah. I can't believe the sea, the coral life and the animals. It's not as good the Great Barrier Reef, but it can be close. But you'll be swimming, you'll be snorkeling. This is right off the shore. It's like 100 meters off the shore. You don't go far away. And you find ajaib, subhanAllah, some of the nice fish and colored fish. But you'll be swimming and it's all plastic bottles in the ground, wallets, packets of cigarettes, cans of beer. Yeah, in Jeddah, here, cans of beer, everything. You'll find it while you at snorkeling. They don't conserve the sea, they don't preserve it, they don't preserve any of that. It's all dying off anyway, the coral's there. Now, he said, as for domesticated animal, it is not forbidden to kill. I missed that part. As for example, to kill a sheep, a cow, a chicken. But because this is not a game, you're not hunting it, it is domesticated, you can't slaughter it. No. As for things which is haram to eat, there is no harm if you kill it. Like, for example, predators. If you hunt it and you killed it, or you just killed it accidentally, or whatever the issue, there is no harm in it, and there is nothing up on you. For like dogs and pigs, and also like flies and mosquitoes and insects. Some would say, oh, I killed the ant or I killed the mosquito. Okay. There is no issue in it because this is not decided. Number seven, aqdun nikah. Marriage is forbidden, although there is no expiation due for it. Let me explain. First, Aqdun Nikah. Aqdun Nikah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hadith collected by Muslim, Uthman radiallahu anhu said, I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَنْكِحُ الْمُحْرِمُ وَلَا يُنْكِحْ وَلَا يَخْطُبُ. لَا يَنْكِحُ الْمُحْرِمُ. If you're in the state of ihram, you do not do marital contract. Nor you marry someone off, or nor you get engaged. صح؟ يعني, you're in the state of ihram, you're in a group of all full lebos, and there is a sister with her younger sister, and you are with your son. They see each other. Mom, dad, can you ask for her hand for me? You're not allowed to. After you get out of ihram, both of you, all the parties, the father, his father, and him, and her father, and her. When everyone exits the ihram, then they can get engaged or do a marital contract. ولا يصح منه. In another narration, يعني in my book, not the English one, he said ولا يصح منه, and it is not correct. يعني what happens? They still did a contract between them. They didn't know, ignorant, or they knew and they still did it. What happens? That contract is invalid, meaning he cannot be with that woman. He cannot see her, he cannot touch her, she's not his wife. She remains a stranger because the contract has not binded. Why? Because of the strong prevention from making it binding. He said, وَلَا فِدْيَا فِيهِ, because there is no fidya in it, because it happens as false anyway. So it did not take an effect for it to require a fidya. Number 8, al-mubashara li shahwatin fi ma dun al-farj. Here he said, sexual intimacy short of intercourse. Yani sexual intimacy, hugging, kissing, whatever, fiddling, all of these things, touching with desire. Why touching with desire? Because it's touching with no desire. So you can hold the hand of your wife, grabbing her, you know, protecting her, the tawaf. This is not with desire. But when you start want to, yani, it becomes an introduction to jima', introduction to an intercourse, then that is, you fell into one of the unlawful acts of إحرام. What is the دليل? The دليل Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج. فلا رفث, الرفث, which is some ulama said it is the intercourse and the introductions to. Then here he said فإن أنزل بها فعليه بدنا. He said if one ejaculates as a result of that, he must offer a camel. One sheep is not enough. 2,700 riyal. This is, according to last year's one, I think we paid more. About 3,000 riyal or 2,700 riyal. فَإِنْ أَنْزَلْ فَعَلَيْهِ بَدَنًا وَإِلَّا فَفِيهِ شَاتْ وَحَجُّهُ صَحِيحٌ. If he does not ejaculate, then he must offer a sheep. His hajj is valid. Hajj is valid, he has to offer a sheep. Now, we're still talking now intercourse. Intercourse is a disaster. The worst thing that ruined Hajj, that completely you have to come back next year. It's the heaviest fine if you have intercourse while you're in the state of Ihram. That in it, a badana, and repeating your Hajj next year. And you still have to continue this Hajj.
10,000.
Yeah, that is another 10,000 and a month of work. Next year you have to come still on your Hajj. Kafar. Al-Muhim. Here he said, number 9, Al-Wat'u fil Farj. Al-Wat'u fil Farj. Al-Wat'u fil Farj, intercourse. If there is intercourse, the dalil of it, fala rafath. La rafath, what did we say? No jima. And also the introductions to jima. Here he said, pay attention. فَإِنْ كَانَ قَبْلَ التَّحَلُّلِ الْأَوَّلِ فَسَدَ الْحَجِّ وَوَجَبَ الْمُضِيُّ فِي فَسَادِهِ وَالْحَجُّ مِنْ قَابِلُ وَعَلَيْهِ بَدْنَ. Listen to the fine. He said, if it is before the first tahallul, meaning getting out of the state of ihram, his hajj is invalid. But he still must complete it. Even though still it is invalid, he still has to complete it. And perform Hajj the following year, in addition, he must offer camel. Before the tahallul al-awwal, what does it mean before the tahallul al-awwal? At-tahallul is two times. Or at-tahallul is a gradual. There is the first one and the second one. The first one is what? Meaning, if you did Arafat, you did Muzdalifa, you stoned, you shaved your hair, now you are in the minor tahallul. What does it necessitate? You take off your clothes, you wear your thawb again, you take off the ihram, you wear your thawb, you put perfume, everything is allowed except intercourse. Or we're still in the tahallul awal, did Arafat, slept in Muzdalifah, you turned the Jamara, and you went start, you done tawaf al-ifada and the sa'i. Then what happens? You still have shaving the head. But once you did tawaf al-ifada and the sa'i, then you can go and wear your normal clothing even if you didn't shave your head. And you go to the first tahallul. You can do everything except intercourse. Now, if you didn't do this act, which is that qualifies you for the tahallul al-awwal, and you had intercourse, this applies on you. You got into the state of ihram, went to Arafat, you came to Muzdalifah, you stoned, and you went straight to the hotel. You didn't tawaf, or you didn't do the tawaf, and you didn't shave your hair. Said to your wife, mashallah, we are by ourselves in the room. Sah, now there is on you a fidya. There is on you what he mentioned. Your hajj is fasting. So you have to be very, very careful. That's why in hajj akhid, before you do anything, ask the ulama. So here he said, wa alayhi badana. So we explained what is the tahallul al-awwal. وَإِنْ كَانَ بَعْدَ التَّحَلُّلِ الْأَوَّلِ فَفِيهِ شَدْ. If it is after the first tahallul, and if it is the jima' the intercourse after the first tahallul, but before the second tahallul, there is one sheep. يعني we tell the person to slaughter one sheep. Now, and the hajj is not annulled. And some scholars, they said, عَلَيْهِ بَدَنَةً. What is badana? Camel or a cow? Camel or a cow to do? And this is wallahu a'lam, the correct opinion, because why he has to pay for a cow or a camel? Because of the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, na'am, and it's been narrated by yani different narrations. وَيُحْرِمُ مِنَ التَّنْعِيمِ لِيَطُوفَ مُحْرِمًا. Now, we continue. And he must go into ihram from at-tan'im, so that will be in ihram to perform tawaf. Now, this is from with the consensus of the scholars. Meaning, after the first tahallul, what did he do now? Listen to me. What did he do? He had intercourse after the first tahallul, yeah? We tell him, go do ihram again. Where from? The tan'im. And you get out of, which is today they call it Masjid Aisha. You get out of the haram. And then he wears the ihram. He get into the state of ihram and comes back. So he can do the tawaf al-ifada on the state of what? Ihram. Majority of the ulama, by the way, they say you do not have to do that. Why? Because there is no proof or strong proof, and this is the closer opinion, that he does not need to go into, you watch me? He doesn't need to go out to tan'im and come back. Khalas, he stays as he is, he continues and do the tawaf. He said, وَإِن وَطِئَ فِي الْعُمْرَ أَفْسَدَهَا وَعَلَيْهِ شَاتْ. And if he has intercourse during Umrah, he spoils it, and nothing other than it would spoil the rites of Hajj and Umrah. You see? So, if he is doing Umrah, and he had intercourse, then he spoiled it, he needs to repeat it, and he has shat. He has shat. So, if he wat in Umrah, If he is wati in the Umrah, he ruined it, but he has to continue it, and he has to slaughter a shat, and then he has to do another Umrah by consensus of the ulama. Meaning nothing ruins the Hajj or the Umrah except intercourse. Nothing ruins it. Everything can be compensated except intercourse. He does the ifsad. Na'am.
Sheikh, one on behalf of him or one on behalf of his wife as well, right?
Yes, if he compensates, yes, one sheep on his behalf and one sheep on his wife. Now, he said, وَالْمَرْأَةُ كَالْرَجُلِ. Now we're going to talk about the women, ihram of the women. He said, وَالْمَرْأَةُ كَالْرَجُلِ. The ruling for the women is like the men. Now, is like the men. Except, إِلَّا أَنَّ إِحْرَامَهَا فِي وَجْهِهَا. Except that she wears, except that her ihram pertains only to her face, and she may wear sewn fitted clothes. So here the woman, her ihram wear is in her face. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the hadith narrated by the Bayhaqi, ليس على المرأة إحرام إلا في وجهها. There is no ihram on the woman except in her face. And some ulama, or there is another hadith in Bukhari, he said, لا تنتقب المرأة المحرمة ولا تلبس القفازين. Now, لا تنتقب المرأة المحرمة. She does not wear the niqab. What is the niqab? The niqab is the face cover that is tailored to the eyes, which is opened around the eyes. That is called what? Niqab. There is another one. Also, he said, Prophet, she does not wear gloves. And al-burqu', also there is another one, al-burqu', which is a cover, comes tailored on the face. Tailored on the face. طيب. Now, some brothers or some juhal, they say, that means the woman does not have to cover her face in Hajj, and if she's wearing niqab, she has to remove it. We say, the woman in Hajj does not wear a niqab that is covering the face and tied it to the eyes, and she does not wear the burqa', طيب, the burqa', which is thicker than the niqab. The issue here is, ikhwani, from hadith Asma bint Abi Bakr, and Aisha radiallahu anha, she said in the hadith, more than one hadith, yani from Asma bint Abi Bakr and from Aisha radiallahu anha, that they would cover their faces from the men. Meaning, even in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that they will be traveling and they will uncover their face due to ihram. And when they feel men are coming past, they will let loose the cover on their face. That means the woman who is wearing niqab in Hajj, she removes the niqab, but she wears something that comes down and cover her face. You know, like black material, just come down and cover her face, and there is no issue in that. If she's on the opinion that the hands are awrah, then she can wear something with a longer sleeve or a jilbab that comes down under the hands, and her hands are covered. And her hands are covered. So here, it's not a dalil also, as some who use it, that woman only, or they say the niqab is sunnah, not obligatory. They use this dalil. They say, in Hajj, you show your face. Who said in Hajj, you show your face? Hajj, you don't show your face. You just don't wear a niqab that is tailored on your face and eyes, but you still cover your face. And there is many ahadith narrated from the wives of the companions. Here, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, I'd like to read it because this issue can cause some problems. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said in Majmu' al-Fatawi, volume 26, page 112-113, لو غطت المرأة وجهها بشيء لا يمس الوجه جاز باتفاق. He said, if the woman covers her face with something that does not touch the face, is allowed by agreement. وإن كان يمسه فالصحيح أنه يجوز أيضا. He said, but if it touches the face, the correct opinion that it is allowed. So there are two opinions. The first opinion is to wear it, but doesn't touch the face. He said, and the second opinion, which is correct, that even if it touches the face, there is no issue. تكلف المرأة أن تجافي في سترها عن الوجه لا بعود ولا بيد ولا غير ذلك. He said, and the woman is not obligated to keep a distance between her face and the cover with her hand or a stick or any of that. That's what I talked to you about. That plastic thing they put so it can become like this and like this. Right? He said, فَإِنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ سَوَّى بَيْنَ وَجْهِهَا وَيَدِهَا وَكِلَاهُمَا كَبَدَنِ الرَّجُلِ لَا كَرَأْسِهِ. طيب, he said, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made the face and her hands equal, and both of them like the body of a man. And your hands, what? Her hands are still going to touch some material. He said, كَبَدَنِ الرَّجُلِ لَا كَرَأْسِهِ. They are like the body of the man, not like his head. Explain. شوف الفقه. That is the فقه. The fiqh of the imam, when you, شوف subhanAllah, he said, your body in the state of ihram as a man, you come out from what is tailored, and you wear the ihram. But no one says you have to keep your ihram distant from your skin. So her face and her hand is like the body of the man. She can cover him even if it touches. You see? He said, not like the head of the man. The head of the man, cap or a turban cannot touch it. And if you have a cover, it can be distant from your head. As long as that's not touching, that's why you can carry an umbrella. You understand it here, what Shaykh al-Islam is saying? So he's saying her face and her hands exactly like the body of the man. So if they put a piece of a cloth and it covers the face, khalas, as long as it is not tailored like niqab and tailored like the clothing the man wears. You wear tailored clothing, he said, as long as they're not tailored and fitted. A lot of the jilba, a lot of the niqabs, or a lot of the, yani we use the niqab as a layman term now, yani in our term, a lot of the face covers, or some of the jilbabs or abayat that come, you can, there is a piece that you can put over your head. You just take it and put it, it's a black, made from the same material of the niqab, but comes as a straight down cover. And that is, she can cover her face like that, even if it touches, as long as it's not cut and tailored onto her head. So we understand, so you see the fiqh here, he said, وَأَزْوَاجُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كُنَّ يُزْدِلْنَ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِنَّ مِنْ غَيْرِ مُرَاعَاتِ الْمُجَافَاتِ. He said, the wives of the Prophet ﷺ used to cover their faces without considering the mara. The cover does not touch their face. And it is not narrated from any, from Ahlul Ilm, that the Prophet ﷺ said, إِحْرَامُ الْمَرْأَةِ فِي وَجْهِهَا. None of the scholars said the ihram of the woman is in her face. صح? He said she does not wear it. This is why she ihram in her face. He said, this is the saying of some of the Salaf, but the Prophet ﷺ, yani some of the Salaf, who said it, like Ibn Qudama, what did he say? He said her ihram is in her face. But this is not narrated from the early generation, from the ulama, the companions and the students of the companions. No. Here when he said no one narrated from Ahlul Ilm, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani none of the companions narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the tabi'een, in even hadith mursal, that he said the ihram of the woman in her face. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah alayhi said, he said, this is from what? From the saying of some of the predecessors. Like the Mashayikh, like Ibn Qudama and others. Remember, Ibn Qudama preceded Ibn Taymiyyah, or he came after him?
Preceded
Ibn Taymiyyah. Good. Like he said, وَلَكِنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَهَاهَا أَن تَنْتَقِبْ أَوْ تَلْبَسَ الْقُفَّازَيْنِ. But the Prophet ﷺ, he said, you're not allowed to wear niqab or gloves. But he didn't say don't cover like you with the ihram. He said, كَمَا نَهَا الْمُحْرِمَ أَن يَلْبَسَ الْقَمِيصَ وَالْخُفْ مَعَ أَنَّهُ يَجُوزُ لَهُ أَن يَسْتُرَ يَدَيْهِ وَرِجْلَيْهِ بِاتِّفَاقِ الْأَئِمَّةِ. He said, as he has prohibited the muhrim, the man, from wearing the shirt and khufs, but by consensus, you're allowed to cover your feet and your hands and your body. Sure not. He said, وَالْبُرْقُعُ أَقْوَى مِنَ النِّقَابِ. He said, the burqa is more than the niqab. يعني, أقوى, stronger than the niqab. That has more tailoring than the niqab. It comes, يعني, tailored on the face. He said, فَلِهَذَا يُنْهَى عَنْهُ بِاتِّفَاقِهِمْ وَلِهَذَا كَانَتْ الْمُحْرِمَةُ لَا تَلْبَسُ مَا يُصْنَعُ لِصَدْرِ الْوَجْهِ كَالْبُرْقُعِ فإنه كالنقاب. برقع like برقع. برقع is the one that covers the face and tailored to the face. And you have the niqab that is tailored also to the face and tied on the head and everything. وَلَهَا لِبْسُ الْمَخِيطِ. He said, and she is allowed to wear fitted clothing all over her body except in her face and her hands. Now, a quick question. Can the woman take medicine or needles or whatever to stop the menstruation? They stop the menstruation? A question come here. The modern ulama like Sheikh Abd Aziz bin Baz and others and Uthaymeen, they said there is nothing to forbid them. They can take these medicines. Some ulama also said it's better to leave herself to the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created her. And no, khalas, leave it and then you do it. Some women, they say, Akhi, I come all the way here, you're going to leave me 7 days away from the Kaaba, and I am in the hotel in the Hilton, between me and the Kaaba, just 5 minutes walk, I want to take it. If the woman want to do that, the advice that we give, that you start taking it a month before. Why? So your body can get used to it. Some women, they start taking it a day or two, or as soon as they get there, it puts their cycle out of order. They start severely bleeding and it causes them a huge problem, or it causes them sicknesses, vomiting, dizzy. So get your body used to it month before that, and then you can carry on throughout. Babul Fidya, chapter of Fidya. Malishi Shabab, we need to pull because I only have 3 weeks and it looks like it's very, very dissim. I mean, we've got a lot to go, so today I'm pushing it a little bit. I'm going to start pushing because I want to try to finish chapter of Hajj. Babul Fidya, chapter of expiation. Now you have the Ihram. He told you now about the expiation. He said, it is of two types. It is of two types. The first one, Ala Takhir. The first is where one is given a choice. Given a choice. And Wahiya فدية الأذى واللبس والطيب فله الخيار بين صيام 3 أيام أو طعام 3 أصع من تمر لستة مساكين أو ذبح شاة. He said, this is expiation. Listen to this type of expiation. Now we're going into a bit more details. Expiation for shaving the hair due to some necessity, wearing certain clothing that are sewn, or wearing perfume. The person has the choice to fast 3 days, feed 3 sa', which is, we explain what is the sa', of dates to 6 poor individuals, or slaughter a sheep or a goat. Normally the brothers, yeah, have money, I slaughter a sheep and I cannot fast 3 days. وَجَزَاءُ الصَّيْدِ مِثْلُ مَا قَتَلَ. Before I go to that, just I'll explain to you. Of course, this is with hadith Ka'b ibn Ujra, who he had a lot of needs and the Prophet ﷺ told him to shave. He also told him in the hadith, as we mentioned previously. Now, the sa' is 3 kilograms from, or 3 kilos from rice, and about, and wheat, and so. So it's sa'. He said, وَجَزَاءُ الصَّيْدِ مِثْلَ مَا قَتَلَ مِنَ النَّعَمِ. He said, and the expiation for killing game animals is a domestic animal that is equal to the wild one killed. Yani, you kill the rabbit, then you expiate with the rabbit. You kill the cow, wild cow, let's say, or wild camel, then the same. He said, فَإِنَّ فِيهِ قِيمَتَهُ. Yani, the value. استغفر الله. إِلَّا الطَّائِرُ فَإِنَّ فِيهِ قِيمَتَهُ. Except the bird, then you pay the value. Because you're not going to go chase a bird. And, you know, like a bird that you're allowed to eat, you hunted it. إِلَّا الْحَمَامَ فَفِيهَا شَاتْ. Except the pigeon, you have to give away shat. طيب. وَالنَّعَامَ فِيهَا بَدَنَة. Just a second, yeah. And an ostrich, you have to give a camel. Now. ويتخير بين إخراج المثل وتقويمه بطعام. He said, he is given a choice of sacrificing an equal domestic animal or giving its value in food. فَيُطْعِمُ كُلَّ مِسْكِينٍ مُدًّا أَوْ يَصُومُ عَنْ كُلِّ مُدْ يَوْمًا. He said, feeding a mud for every poor individual or fasting a day in the place of every mud had given away. Every mud has given away. Now, yalla, Sheikh. Mud, yani, we said the mud is for. For. The second type is where the sequence for options of expiation must be followed. The second type is you have to follow a sequence. So there is the first one. You said the first one for what? Shaving the hair, putting perfume, what? Wearing fitted clothing, and so. Then the second one, you have to follow the order. The second one. وهو المتمتع يلزمه شاة فإن لم يجد فصيام ثلاثة أيام في الحج وسبعة إذا رجع. طيب, he said, this is for the person who is performing تمتع. He must sacrifice a sheep or a goat. If he does not have one, then he must fast 3 days while at Hajj and 7 days when he returned to his homeland. So if the one is doing تمتع, then he has to follow that sequence. First, he has to do a shat. وَفِدْيَةُ الْجِمَاعِ بَدَنًا. For the one who has intercourse, he must sacrifice a camel. And if he cannot afford it, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامٌ كَصِيَامِ الْمُتَمَتِّعِ. It is a fasting exactly like the one who is doing tamattu. Doing tamattu. Now. وَكَذَلِكَ الْحُكْمُ فِي دَمِّ الْفَوَاتِ. The ruling the same for sacrifice due missing the Hajj. Like, let me explain this one. Anyway, وَكَذَلِكَ الْحُكْمُ فِي دَمِّ الْفَوَاتِ. The ruling is the same for missing, for the sacrifice due for missing a Hajj. يعني somebody doing a Hajj, and he could not continue, and he could not continue his Hajj. So, he has to sacrifice. وَالْمُحْصَرُ يَلْزَمُهُ دَمْ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ عَشْرَةِ أَيَّامٍ. The person who is prevented from proceeding must sacrifice an animal. If he cannot afford it, he must fast for 10 days. Fast for 10 days. Now, do we understand the expiation, or do you want me to explain it? Expiation normally, ya ikhwa, if you do something wrong, how do you expiate? Let me just give you just a refresher, so we don't get confused, because it seems a little bit confusing. You're in a state of ihram, not in tamattu. You did a mistake. You wore clothing due to sickness. Then you have the option to do what? It's either you fast 3 days, or you feed thalathat asu', yani 9 kilos of rice or something, and you distribute them to 6 poor people. Or you sacrifice a sheep. You choose one of the three. Wallah, if you have the money, you slaughter a sheep and khalas. You don't have the money, you fast 3 days. You have the money, but you want to fast 3 days because you don't want to pay money, you can fast 3 days. Whatever is your choice. But if you're doing tamattu', he said, if you're doing tamattu', then you have to go according to the order, which is shat, if you cannot afford it. Sheep, if you cannot afford it, you fast 3 days, and you fast 3 days in Hajj, and 7 when you get back home, which is 10. صح? And he said, in between the two, rahimahullah, how do you compensate if you hunted something? How do you expiate if you hunted something? Then he explained it to you, whatever is equal or similar to it, you either give the money or you. Yes. No. Then here he said, yani, for example, you hunted a pigeon, sheep. It's either you take a sheep, you buy a sheep and you slaughter it and you distribute the laham of it, or the value of the sheep you distribute it money.
بس
then he said al-jima' after the first before the first tahallul badana, and we said the correct opinion before or after badana, badana which is a sheep, which is a camel or a cow, right? If he can cannot afford it, then he does a fasting like the mutabatti'. What is the fasting like mutabatti'? 3 days in Hajj and 7 when he gets home. And the same thing for Dammul Fawad. Al-Fawad, which is someone who missed Hajj. For a reason he missed Hajj. Whatever is the missed Hajj, he missed Hajj, and then he has to do the fidya, which is either a badana or a sheep. Or a sheep, or he fast 10 days. Sheep, if he cannot afford it, he fast 10 days. Now, as for the Muhsir what? Somebody stopped him. He wore Hajj, everything, did the Ihram, and entered, and just let's just say, on the way to Mecca, somebody stopped him. Police said, no, your paperwork are invalid. Ya Ammi, Wallah valid. I can't read English. It's invalid. You're going back home from wherever you come. Ya'ani, but I'm in Ihram. You're going back home. That's it. You see? Lock you up or mistakenly locked you up. Whatever is the reason, as had happened with the Prophet ﷺ, Umrah in Hudaybiyah. So they were going out. They stopped them, isn't it? And they turned them back. So the Prophet ﷺ shaved, slaughtered his sheep, and he went home. So here, Al-Ihsar, if you cannot find sheep to slaughter, you have to fast 10 days. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِنْ أُحْسِرْتُمْ فَمَا اسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدْيِ. If you have ihsar, so whatever you can afford from the hadi. Whatever you can afford from the hadi. Another example for the ihsar, like on the 9th, some people, they drive in the morning and they get stuck and they miss Arafat altogether. They miss Arafat. The Ihsar is beyond his hands. There is not written Hajj, he needs to come back and do it. But for him, it's finished. He's been demolished. He didn't get to Arafat. And the Fajr of the 10th day came out. It's finished. That's it. Now, he said, يعني يلزمه دم فما استيسر من الهدي. فإن لم يجد فصيام عشرة أيام. If he cannot find, he fast 10 days. So this is a good revision and understanding what we went through. Now, he said, وَمَنْ كَرَّرَ مَحْذُورًا مِنْ جِنْسِ غَيْرِ مَا قَتَلَ مِنَ الصَّيْدِ فَكَفَّارَةً وَاحِدَةً. He said, now what about somebody who repeated the same thing over and over? يعني, he wore perfume the first time, and then he wore it the second time. He wore it in the morning, and then he wore it in the afternoon. He repeated it twice. He said, or he shortened the head, and he cut it again. He's still in Ihram. He said, فَكَفَّارَ مِنْ جِنْسِ غَيْرِ قَتْلِ الصَّيْدِ. Anything except anything. He said, if a person does a forbidden act more than once, aside from killing game animal, then the expiation is due once. Except if you do what? The hunting. And you hunted two rabbits, or you hunted an ostrich and a rabbit, you still have to compensate for each separate compensation or expiation. فَإِنْ كَفَّرَ عَنِ الْأَوَّلِ قَبْلَ فِعْلِ الثَّانِي سَقَطَ حُكْمُ مَا كَفَّرَ عَنْهُ. Meaning here, if he had already compensated for the first forbidden act before committing the second, the first one has been concluded, so he must expiate for the second. He did the first one, and he expiated before he did the second one. Then he did the second one, then he has to expiate for the second one. He said, فَإِنْ فَعَلَ مَحْذُورًا مِنْ أَجْنَاسِ فَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدَةٍ كَفَّارَةٍ. He said, if he committed two or more forbidden acts of different types, then the expiation is due for each one. which is I made a mistake. What was the mistake? If he cuts his nails and he puts perfume, then it's two. But he put the perfume and then he put perfume again before he expiated the first one, then he one expiation. He put perfume first time, he expiated, then he put perfume again, then another sheep again. We continue. والحلق والتقليم والوطء وقتل الصيد يستوي عمده وسهوه. Listen to this. He said, for shaving, clipping the nails, having intercourse and killing game animals is the same whether they are done intentionally or absent-mindedly. يعني you forgot. You do it. عمدًا or سهوًا, you'll find there is a difference amongst the ulama that if you have forgotten or you absent mindedly, they say there is nothing on you. Due to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رُفِعَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأُ وَالنِّسْيَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted from my ummah the khata, the mistake, and forgetfulness. This is another opinion from the ulama that said there is nothing on you, and because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Our Lord, forgive us if we forget or make a mistake. And also listen here, there is a strong dalil for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah 9, verse 96, وَمَنْ قَتَلَهُ مِنْكُمْ مُتَعَمِّدًا, and whomsoever from amongst you kills an animal again intentionally, فَجَزَاءٌ مِثْلُ مَا قَتَلَ مِنَ النَّعَمِ, and expiation is similar to what he killed from an-na'am. يعني from al-an'am. So what does it mean? He said the ayah what? Whomever kills it intentionally. So if you're not intending, then there is no expiation. And they said by qiyas, by analogical deduction, same thing, perfume and cutting the nails and cutting your hair, if you forgetfully done them, there is nothing on you. We say al-ahwat is to do what? To pay compensation. Al-ahwat is to expiate for that. Here he said, وَسَائِرُ الْمَحْظُورَاتِ لَا شَيْءَ فِي سَهْوِهِ. He said, for the rest of the forbidden act, there is nothing due in the case of forgetfulness. Like, because of what we mentioned, like forgetting an obligation from the obligations of Hajj. Forgetting an obligation from the obligations of Hajj. Here he said, shaving, cutting the nails, and intercourse and hunting. Why is that? Because you can't be in ihram and forget and shave your hair or cut your nail. Sah. But you can forget and go straight to the bottle of perfume and put a little bit and remember. Huh? You can forget and wake up in the morning and go straight to your towel and have a shower, because in your ihram you can have a shower and put a towel on your head like you usually do in your own house and walk out of the toilet. How many brothers do that? You know, they are in ihram. He says, I want to have a shower. He has a shower. He wears the bottom side of the ihram and the one on the bottom, because of the air conditioning in the room, he puts it on his head. So the air conditioning, the cold air doesn't hit him in his head. They do that. Now you can't tell him to slaughter a sheep. That's why he said what? Al-halq. And cutting the nails and intercourse and hunting. Because these actions, you do not do them very easily while you're forgotten. Yeah, because it requires time. You gotta sit down and get the scissors and everything. So he said, that's why he said, سَائِرُ الْمُحْظُورَاتِ, the rest of forbidden acts, there is nothing in them. If you don't, forgetfully. طيب, let me just do this section and we stop, inshallah. وكل هدي أو إطعام فهو لمساكين الحرم. Every sacrifice or provision of food must be for the poor individual of al-Masjid al-Haram, meaning the one in the Haram and Mecca, who are poor, who live around the area, to be given. Shuf the barakah of the Haram. If you're poor, rizq comes to you. إلا فدية الأذى فإنه يفرقها في الموضع الذي حلق به. He said, except for the expiation, for shaving or clipping the nails, which should be offered at the place where he shaved. Of course, this is nowadays, let's be real, you don't even see the sheep. You go to the bank, or an agent, you give him 450 riyal, he asks you for what, you tell him, he gives you a ticket, yalla, go, bus. And how many tickets he sells? He goes buy the sheep, or he gets the sheep and he sends them to slaughter. So a lot of the times you do not even
see it.
You don't know. You just get a ticket and go back to your hotel. So this is here. Why? They use the dalil. Because Ka'b ibn Ujra radiallahu anhu, the one, the companion that had needs, he was in Hudaybiyah. The Prophet ﷺ ordered him to slaughter sheep or fast 3 days or feed 6 masakin. He said, this is a dalil that it is allowed to be done in the place where you done it, which is outside the haram in Hudaybiyah. In Hudaybiyah. وَهَدْيُ الْمُحْصَرِ يُنْحَرُ فِي مَوْضِعِهِ وَهَدْيُ الْمُحْصِرِ يُنْحَرُهُ فِي مَوْضِعِهِ. The sacrifice of the one prevented from proceeding must be slaughtered in the place where he is. Okay? In the place for where he is, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he say to them? فَإِنْ أُحْصِرْتُمْ فَمَسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدِي. And when you are in a state of ihsar, whatever you can afford in from hadith, this is where it happened in Al-Hudaybiyah. وَأَمَّا الصِّيَامُ فَيُجْزِئُهُ بِكُلِّ مَكَانٍ. As for fasting, it is valid anywhere. Right? As for the fasting, except the fasting of Al-Mutamatti' or the Qarin, if he cannot find a hadith, he has to fast the 3 days where? In the Hajj. طيب فَمَتَّمَتَّعَ بِالْعُمْرَةِ إِلَى الْحَجْ فَمَسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدِي. When you do tamattu' from Umrah to Hajj, whatever you can afford from the Hadi, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجْ. If you cannot afford it, then it's 3 days in Hajj. وَسَبَعَةٍ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ and 7. When you go back, and we'll stop at this. And next week we talk about entering Mecca, and we'll speak about how the etiquettes of entering Mecca. Insha'Allah, insha'Allah, bi-idhnillah, inshallah, we can finish before we leave. Inshallah. Tayyib, subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We take questions. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We take questions if there is any. Fattab.